Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. From making your own cleaning products to composting, recycling, keeping chooks and reducing your carbon footprint, Maureen and her guests will inspire you with practical, everyday solutions that make a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
And kia ora, welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, and this on the show today, our focus is preserves and packaging, and they are connected a lot more than you think, actually. And my guest is local preserve maker Nikki Charteris, and she'll be sharing a recipe or two, so get out your pens. But first, I've got a request. Now, Eco Living in Action is a popular show. It was started in 2012 and it runs weekly. And over the years, it's won Best Programme and also Most Podcast Hits at the Otago Access Radio Station. Now, it's aired twice a week and then repeated weekly in Auckland. So I've had a lot of support. I've had such amazing support from Otago Access Radio and from my sponsors over the years, and I'm so grateful, and I couldn't do it without them, of course. And now I would like a new sponsor for the next 6 months. So a business, a group, an organisation to support the show. It's a great opportunity, I think, to support local community radio, to support a programme that's sharing amazing things that people are doing to make a difference and hopefully inspiring listeners. And I certainly love doing the show and meeting people, and so I hope to continue. So if you would like more information, please email me at ecolivinginaction@gmail.com, or you can telephone me on 021-206-3593. So on to the main part of the show. Now, my guest today is Nikki Charteris, who is owner of Port Larder. It's a business that's in Port Chalmers, and Nikki makes and sells lovely preserves at the Otago Farmers Market. But as well as preserves, Nikki is passionate about packaging, and she's got lots of ideas on that and how we can reduce our packaging. Now, she's in the studio with me today to talk to me about Port Larder, about its eco-friendly aspects, and we're going to have a jolly good discussion about what can be done. And she's laughing here about the plastic packaging that ends up on our landfills and oceans. And plus, Nikki has promised us a recipe or two of her preserves. So if you enjoy her preserves at the farmer's market when you're there, listen up, get your pens out. So welcome to the show, Nikki.
Kia ora, Maureen.
It's very good to have you on, and I was there and I saw you a while back. And so tell me, how many years is it that you've started this business?
Well, Port Larder has been operating for about 5 years now, but only the last three at the farmers market. And really, it's the farmers market that's enabled me to be a proper little business.
Right. It's kind of the Otago Farmers Market really gives people a place, isn't it, to really start
Oh, it's been fantastic. Yeah. It's a great place to start and stay there, really. I'm happy there. I make products on a Tuesday right through to the end of the week, take them to market on a Saturday and hopefully sell out and start again the next week.
Right. So it kind of suits the kind of things that you make too, doesn't it? You know, they can be kept.
It does. Well, I'm quite lucky. If I don't sell out of preserves, they will keep, of course.
Yeah.
But I also make pestos and tapenades and crackers.
Make crackers too?
I've just started making seed crackers, and by a happy coincidence, all my products are vegan. That just happened to be, really.
Right, because when you were experimenting with recipes, those are the ones that sort of came out.
Well, preserves are vegan essentially anyway, but the pestos, I realised that if I didn't put any cheese in them and took the anchovies out of the olive tapenade, then hey presto, we were vegan. So I thought veganism is a great way to go, and why not continue on that way?
So if people are listening, that you know, this is, if you're a vegan or if you're going to visit someone who is vegan, this is something that you can bring. And, you know, if you're going out on Saturday night, you can bring this along. So let's go through the kind of the things that you're making. So what are all the different preserves?
Okay, so my main business is the preserves. My main preserve that I make that's my most popular is called Indian Date Chutney. And that is always a winner. Everyone loves that. And it's quite a complex, dense chutney full of dates and raisins and
quite spicy,
lots of Indian spices.
What would that go well with?
It goes fantastically with cheese, actually.
All right, okay.
But vegan cheeses too. It's really good, but it's great as part of an Indian banquet. It's really good. Or just in a sandwich or alongside a meal.
Actually, a sandwich is a good idea because we get so tired of our sandwiches, don't we?
And that's right.
To have some kind of chutney or something is a really good idea.
It really lifts it. And the great thing is with the chutney, you can buy a jar and it will last you 6 months in the fridge.
Mm.
So it's not like you have to use it immediately.
Yeah.
So it's got a long shelf life. And so I also make relishes that are seasonal. So that's a relish I can make all year round because, of course, dates I have to... I get my dates from Iran, which I'm really excited by. I get them from Trent's, but they come in a big box, cardboard box.
Do you feel connected to Iran?
I do. It's something funny. I get my box and it says product of Iran, and I lift it up and here are my beautiful dates.
It's exoticness brought into your house, isn't it?
Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. My house smells amazing on relish days.
Wow. You'll not be able to get rid of your children if your house smells so good.
I try and make them when they're not there.
So what other
okay,
things?
Okay, so, and I do seasonal relishes too. Like at the moment I'm making a Bombay pear chutney because there's lots of pears around at the moment, and we've got beautiful pears at the farmer's market. So I always go around at the end of the market and talk to all the fruit stall holders and do deals with them. And so I'm going to give that recipe soon. I make a tomato kusundi, which is a Fijian Indian recipe. Now, that's very popular and that's very spicy.
Mm. Are you attracted to these spicy things?
I think I must have been born in a past life somewhere, lived in exotic places, because I'm really drawn to those Indian or Middle Eastern type spices. I do a spiced roast plum chutney. I do jellies, apple jellies with star anise. I've moved into pesto, so I do a red pesto, which is capsicum, sun-dried tomatoes and capers and cashew nuts and olive oil.
Wow.
And I do an olive tapenade, which has got lentils in it as well.
So what's a tapenade?
A tapenade it's a little bit like a pesto, but it's got no nuts in it. So the olive tapenade is olives, capers, and traditionally anchovies and garlic and lemon juice and olive oil, but I've just taken out the anchovies and replaced them with lentils, and I find the lentils just make it a little bit more robust.
Right, especially a better texture.
Lovely texture.
And you put that on crackers too, would you?
Absolutely, it's fantastic on crackers. It's a really good, so a lot of vegan people will come to me if they're entertaining, and if you buy all of my pestos, you could put them on a platter, and the colours are sublime.
Mm.
Sometimes I do a carrot and tahini dip, which is really nice.
Right.
And I also make a green pesto, which is very popular, and often I forage for that.
Ah, yes. So like chickweed and stuff?
Yes, we're lucky in Port Chalmers. We've got wild parsley that grows around a lot, and we've got puha. So sometimes it's a mixture of nasturtium, puha, parsley, chickweed, and organic spinach from the lovely people at Wainuna Organics at the farmer's market.
I really like the idea that you're able to, you know the other vendors and kind of make little deals and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's really good, and I think that's all part of it.
Yeah.
And, of course, I would never think of using fruit that wasn't from the farmer's market, because it makes sense to assist them as well and use local produce. Of course, a lot of my ingredients I have to buy, like sugar and vinegar. You know, I can't. But that's cool.
But you are. But you're sort of conscious of,
absolutely,
apart from the dates, having local things. but the dates will be coming in sea freight, which is not so bad. You know, sea freight.
Yeah.
Because I travelled by freighter, so I know.
Of course,
this.
I do know that. Yes, they do, and it's just this wonderful thing. I buy them by the 10-kilo box, and it's just lovely. I lift up the box, and there they are, without any, you know, outrageous packaging that you normally get. It's such a great way to receive them.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So look, let's talk about the recipe, a recipe first, okay. because we don't want to run out of time. People have got their pens at the ready. We have lots of time, don't worry.
Okay, well, shall I start with the Bombay pear chutney? Because it's a nice, easy one. And I thought that pears are in season at the moment. And it's a particularly good one for a sandwich, or if you're into blue vein cheese, it's superb. So here we go. I just have to put my glasses on. Right. Okay. The great thing is you don't have to peel the pears for this. That's why I like it. So you get your pears, and you're going to have about 1.5 kilos of pears. Now, this will make 4 jars of chutney, 4 regular-size jam jars.
Right.
All right? So you've got 1.5 kilos of pears. So you want to chop all the pears up, and what I do is I chop them roughly, and then I throw them into the food processor and give them a quick blitz.
Right.
So I've chopped them all up, I've cored them, but I haven't peeled them, all right? So then I put them in the food processor, and then I throw those pears into a big preserving pan. And then you're going to add, wait for it, 24 small red chilies.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that sounds like a lot. Well, it is quite a lot, really, but it is quite a spicy chili, a spicy chutney. So you can use the dried ones, but I tend to use the frozen ones from the Indian food stores that you can buy.
Because they're probably fresher flavour.
I think so. And then you're going to put them in your food processor as well. And then you're going to put 60 grams of garlic and 60 grams of ginger into your food processor. So you blitz it all up and throw that in with your pears. And then you're going to throw in there 1/4 cup of yellow mustard seeds. And they're lovely. They give a nice texture to the chutney. So you've got all of that in your pot. Then you're going to add 1 cup of white sugar, 3 cups of brown sugar, and 2 cups of malt vinegar. And that is it.
Right.
You throw it all in, yes. Put it in your preserving pan, and let it simmer for about an hour.
And does it kind of thicken up?
It does. So it thickens and reduces because there's no water in there. So the sugars from the fruit reduce in there. So 1 to 2 hours on a low simmer. I always do it quite a long time. I think longer the better. And then while that's doing, you can do lots of other things around the house. And then you wash your jars, and I put them through my dishwasher on a very hot cycle, so that sterilises my jars. You can either do that, or you can put them in the oven for half an hour at a low temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're putting your hot chutney into the hot jars and sealing them. And hey presto, you've got some chutney. And that will last unopened for a year,
right.
Which is a wonderful way to put food away.
It is, actually. I guess that's how it started,
yes.
You know, the preserving.
Yes,
you know, that was
absolutely.
The point of it.
Yes, that's right. So it's great to use all the pears that are nice now, and you might not use it till September or something.
Oh, that's
great. It's great to be able to pull out and give to a gift to a friend.
Yeah, it is. It's a lovely gift because there's heart in it. You know, there's effort and heart that's gone into it. And what a treat. And every time they eat it, they'll think of you.
Yes.
So, well, one of the things, you know, that you do, Nikki, is you are reducing the amount of packaging in the world, aren't you?
Well, yes, I am, because I decided when I started Portlada that I wasn't going to buy all of my jars. So the great thing about preserving is they're always in glass jars, which is great. So I set on my mission to use recycled jars. So sometimes my house looks like a recycling station because people literally drop off boxes of jars at my front door, which is fantastic, and long may that continue. But it does mean quite a bit of work scraping off labels and washing them and things. However, every now and again I do buy some new jars to bring into the mix.
Yes.
But my customers are really great now at returning those jars to me.
Okay, so if people come along on the Saturday, they can just bring their old empty
jars.
Yes,
a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. So I have a box at my store at the market, and people just bring along jars for me to reuse.
Right, and it's quite handy because the labels are off them as well.
Oh, it's really good. I really appreciate the ones with the labels off, which is great.
Yes, so take your labels off.
Yes, if you can. And I've learned all different ways of getting labels off too.
Oh, okay. What's a good way?
So a good one is, especially for the Pix ones, Pix peanut butter jars, you pour hot water into them and leave them to sit for a couple of minutes, and then the label just peels off, which is really good. But for those stubborn ones, or ones that you can't do that to, I just soak in cold water with detergent for a day or two, and then I can scrape them off with a knife. And if they're particularly bad, then I've worked out that if you put a little bit of oil on the gluey bit that's left, it will scrape off quite easily.
Right, yes, yes. So there we are. Yes, because that is a problem, isn't it? That sticky bit.
Oh, it's really annoying.
It is annoying.
It is annoying. But
and you can't really sell your things with sticky.
You can't. It's a great job for kids to do, but then they get a bit bored of it after a while.
Yes, you have to go around the kindergarten to get them all scraping. Okay, so, you know, you are bearing the, you know, the environment in mind and everything. And what have been, you know, like some of your challenges apart, like I guess apart from the sticky labels?
Well, the challenges for the jars hasn't been too bad. I mean, it's just laborious work, but it feels good to do it, so that's good. My problem was with the pestos and tapenades, which are a much shorter life product, and ideally people are used to buying things like that in a nice little plastic bottle from the supermarket, clear, and you can see the product. So I do sell my pestos in plastic bottles. However, I realise that those plastic bottles can be used up to at least 10 times.
Well, these are quite sturdy ones.
They're quite
sturdy.
They're
not the thin ones.
They're not the really thin ones. So what I have done now is that I bring my pestos to market in their containers that I've big containers, and customers can bring their own container and I will ladle it into their container for them.
Okay.
And if people haven't got a container, then they can use one of mine and then they can bring that back next week and get a dollar off their next purchase.
Right. That is
that
so
product.
Good, because actually that is one thing that really annoys people. You know, we don't have an option. We go into, you know, if you're going,
yes,
well, you think we don't have the option, but we do now because we've got Nikki. But, you know, you go into the supermarket and they're all in the plastic containers.
So this is great. So if you come and see me at the market and you want some pesto and you haven't got your own container, no problem. I've got some packaged up in their containers, and you bring that container back next week and you get a dollar off your next purchase.
Right.
Of that product.
Or bring your own container.
Or bring your own.
Right.
And more people are doing that since I've started
bringing the big bulk.
Yeah. So I bring it in bulk.
Yeah.
And all of my regulars now will bring their own containers. Mm. And of course, we've got a lot of tourists that come through the market, so they're not always prepared. But I always insist in telling them that that container that pesto is in can be used up to 10 times. Please use it again.
Right. Good for you. Mm. And do you enjoy having regulars? That must feel quite
nice.
Oh,
I love it. I love it. I mean, you really need your regulars, especially during winter. And the regulars are great and they offer great support and ideas and get us through that hard winter.
Yeah. Mm. And also standing out there, it gets chilly, eh?
It is freezing at the moment, but I'm really lucky. I've got my son, Hemi, who's a great help, who helps me out, and my daughter, Esther, who works at the olive oil stand next door to me. So I'm pretty lucky.
Oh, right. I was about to say, they come and give you body warmth.
Well, they do. They give me hugs when I get cold, or go off and get me a coffee when I need it, or more food.
That's right. If you've got the energy burning on the inside, you can stay warm. Yeah. So what would your vision then be for a future, Nikki?
Well, of course, what I would really like to see is the government step in more strongly on packaging. Because I'm a food producer, I'm so aware of packaging around food now, and it does my head in when I go to the supermarket. And I really think that the poor old consumer's been left having to make these decisions, when really government needs to step in and actually put some baseline conditions on limits to packaging. I'd like to see stronger guidelines on that. Mm. And I think a lot of the supermarkets just think people want that packaging and they haven't really checked it out with people. So my vision is to see stronger government regulation on packaging, and I'd just love to see more being able to go to the supermarket and shops with our own containers.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'd really like to see a return to products that we used to use, things like soap bars, for example. Now liquid hand washes and things have come de rigueur, really, and let's go back to good old soap.
Absolutely.
For example.
Yeah.
Things like that, where, you know, 5 years ago we really didn't have that many hand washes, and now the market's saturated, and I think that needs to be really looked at.
It's kind of, yeah, we've gone completely. It was a little option.
Yes.
And then these soaps, now they've got triclosan in them as a preservative, but it's actually an antibiotic, isn't it?
Right.
You know, and so we're getting little bits of...
Well, I just refuse to buy them. And, of course, I'm one of those... my kids get so embarrassed with me at the supermarket because I do rant and rave quite a bit at the packaging.
I do too. Yeah, but I know, and it's created a whole problem. And actually, the bar of soap lasts a long time. You save a lot of money by having a bar of soap.
Absolutely, and there's some beautiful soaps out there. But I think the customers, you know, all these liquid soaps have all got beautiful names and they all sound amazing. And people, before you know it, it becomes important that people have that.
Yeah.
And things like sauces that come in plastic bottles, tomato sauce and all of those things. So I think we, you know, I would like to see a lot more government regulation around packaging.
Yeah, and it's plastic has become very pervasive in our lives now.
Yes,
and I was reading that we're consuming little bits of plastic enough to that's equivalent to a credit card a week. That we're actually eating them because it's in microplastics. That was a little statistic I read today.
Wow, that's incredible.
So yeah, it's in our water now. So
yeah.
This wasn't for New Zealand, this was international, so I don't know what it is here, but I'd hope it's better here. But
one of the things I do sell that I find my customers really love the fact that I recycle jars, because it was a bit of a gamble at one stage. But that's a real, you know, people do love that. But one thing I do sell is dukkah, which I make up, and I've got it in a big glass jar on my counter at the market, and I just sell scoops of it in little paper bags. And that is one of my top sellers, and I'm sure it's that simple packaging that people are loving.
Right. Great. Good for you. Okay, and people will be thinking, oh, why isn't everybody doing this?
Well, the trouble is with packaging too, with food products, especially if they're liquid, this is where we get into trouble. I think this is why plastics are so pervasive. With the dukkah or the crackers, they're quite easy in that way. You can put them in a paper bag, no problem. My crackers come in a little bag with string around it. And, you know, that's easy. But as soon as you've got a liquid, this is where... And we've liquidized so many things.
Yes.
That can become problematic.
And then, of course, at the supermarket, things have to sit on shelves for a long time. And, you know, there has to be a robustness about them and shelf life. And everything. So really the personal touch of the Saturday market is something that you can't replicate at the supermarket.
Well, that's right, and I think that is what people want, and that's why people go to a farmer's market.
Yeah.
And I do see that the local peanut butter producer, Bay Road, they're doing a fantastic job with their jars,
right,
recycling them.
Ah, good, good. So you do more than just the Saturday market, don't you?
Yes, I also do catering. I specialise in vegan and vegetarian catering, mainly because, I mean, I do all sorts. I mean, I can do any sorts of catering. However, there does appear to be a gap in the market in Dunedin for vegan catering in particular. So I really enjoy doing those. And
so if I wanted to get married, you could provide all my food?
Yes, Maureen, I'd be absolutely happy to. I've done many weddings around Dunedin in small, out-of-the-way halls, terrible kitchens.
But
it's always been loads of fun, and hopefully my customers have been happy. And I also sell my pestos to some cafes around town and my relishes as well.
All right. So if people want to find you, they can come on Saturday.
Yes, up on the railway platform.
Right, and it's a port larder.
Yes, and we're next door to Whitestone Cheese.
Right, yeah, and if they want to contact you regarding, you know,
a product or
any kind of question, yeah.
Yes, yep. Sure, they can email me at portlarder@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And I've got a number here too.
Yes.
Which is 021-135-8241. I don't know if I don't think we're going to get time for an advert, for another recipe. Oops.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, never mind. Maybe another time.
Yes, okay. That's right. You don't want to give all your secrets away either, but it's very good of you. Anyway, so thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, that's all right. Thank you very much, Maureen, for the opportunity.
Right. And thank you for listening. Today I've been chatting to about preserves and plastics with Nikki Charteris and her business, which is Port Lauder. And you can find her up on the platform at the Otago Farmers Market every Saturday. So if you would like to listen to the show again, you can download it as a podcast from the OAR website. And you can also listen to the show tomorrow morning. If you're listening to this on Thursday live, you can listen to it tomorrow morning at 9:30. Eco Living in Action is supported by Sustainable Dunedin City. And thanks very much to them. And I hope to catch you next week.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability. As they affect our city, Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability related events, hosts regular green drink sessions and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to sustainabledunedincity.org.nz. We'll be right back.